And let's take a look next at our daily business bottom line. In the publishing world, a big part of the bottom line is who takes the financial risk up front. A publisher takes a chance that a book will sell, pays the author in advance, occasionally a big one, pays to design and print up copies, pays to distribute them to bookstores or online. But there have always been people who self-publish, pay for the book themselves. Used to be derided as the vanity press for writers who couldn't interest a publisher but still burned to see themselves in print. But thanks to e-books, self-publishing has exploded, and a handful of writers have had huge bestsellers, which explains why the big publisher, Simon & Schuster, decided to launch its own self-publishing company. Here's NPR's Lynn Neary.
Alan Sepinwall's self-published book, The Revolution Was Televised, came out just before Thanksgiving. Within 2 weeks, he had a review in the New York Times, a positive review by the widely read and often critical Michiko Kakutani, who also named it one of her favorite books of the year. This is what book publicists and their writers dream of, and Sepinwall didn't even see it coming.
I was sitting at my computer on the Monday, the day before it ran, recording my podcast, and all of a sudden I see an email from a Times photo editor saying, "Hi, the Times will be running a review of your book tomorrow. We need an author photo. Can you help us?"
Turns out Kakutani is a fan of Sepinwall's popular TV blog on the HitFix site. Her review has helped boost sales of Sepinwall's book. That doesn't happen to most self-published writers. Hannah Brooks Olson was happy just to see a published version of her book, Hanged Man's Leap.
It was so exciting. It was way more exciting than I thought it was going to be. I immediately told any of my friends who I knew had e-readers, and I obviously emailed my mother, too, with a link.
Brooks Olson wrote about her self-publishing experience for the online magazine Lit Reactor. She got editing help from her parents, and her boyfriend designed the cover, but otherwise she did it all herself. E-publishing is the quickest way to go, and Brooks Olson chose Kindle Direct because it seemed easy to use, and she liked having the power of Amazon behind her.
And it does sort of get sold randomly at times. I'll get a direct deposit from Amazon every now and then for, you know, $10 or $15. I'm like, oh, I must have sold a couple more that month.
But the process was not problem-free. There were formatting issues, and she had to wade through a lot of legalese to figure out the contract with Amazon, especially royalties. She viewed the process as an experiment, but says if you're more serious about selling a book, you might want some help.
Have you written a book that you dream of publishing? Every day, we help people just like you publish the book of their dreams and sell it from online stores like Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com.
Do a quick search of the internet, and you'll find lots of help for writers who want to self-publish, from companies like Smashwords, which publishes and distributes e-books, to companies like Lulu, which publishes both electronic and print books and offers a range of services that cost up to $5,000.
It's everything from, you know, website design to social media strategies to cover design, you know, to editing packages.
Lulu Marketing Director Brian Matthews. Lulu's been around since 2002, long before the current self-publishing boom. Matthews says a lot of Lulu's customers just want to print a few copies of the book for families or friends. But others have seen all the self-publishing success stories and think they can duplicate that.
Obviously, when you get into hundreds of thousands of titles and there's hundreds to thousands of real successes in a given year, the percentages are small, but in the democratized world of self-publishing, there are very low barriers. And if someone is, you know, has a good story to tell, is able to tap into a community and interested set of readers, certainly we've seen again and again, they can find that success.
It may seem that self-publishing companies are taking advantage of writers with little hope of making their money back. But even a writer with a fighting chance of self-publishing success, like Alan Sepinwall, needs some help. Sepinwall hired a professional editor and has his own very popular blog as a publicity platform. But Sepinwall wasn't so sure about designing and formatting the book himself.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a writer. I'm not a layout guy. I'm not an artist. So I could have come up with something on my own, but it would have looked amateurish in some way. And so I figured, all right, I'm going to stick to my strengths and I will bring in other people to help me.
A friend recommended a company called 52 Novels to help design and format the book. All in all, Sepinwall spent about $2,500 on self-publishing, which at the time seemed like a lot of money.
I turned down this offer from the one publisher a year ago because I thought it wasn't what I was hoping for, and also I didn't get the sense that maybe they were that enthusiastic about the book anyway. And for a while when I was going through this whole self-publishing odyssey, I kept sort of saying to myself, what a mistake. What did you do? That was money in the bank. You're never going to make that much selling it on your own. I've already made quite a bit more than that.
The audience has been growing by leaps and bounds, and there have been more and more signal successes in that world.
Carolyn Reedy is the CEO of Simon & Schuster, which recently announced it is launching a new self-publishing service in partnership with Authors Solutions, Inc. If traditional publishers want to survive, Reedy says, they have to keep up with the rapid changes taking place in the industry. The growth of self-publishing is one of them.
We actually understand that it is a different world than what we do, and we want to understand it. And if it is going to or possibly could be a threat to our business, we definitely want to understand it and also see how we can turn that to our advantage. And one of the advantages is it is a great way to find authors, also new genres and new audiences.
The company, Archway, will also offer a range of publishing packages to would-be authors. But Reedy says no one from Simon & Schuster will be directly involved in publishing or editing Archway books. However, Simon & Schuster will keep track of sales.
And one of the advantages to actually having this relationship as opposed to merely watching the self-publishing authors published by others is that we will begin to see sales velocity and other things like that earlier in the game. So we saw it as an advantage to us in finding talent. Hopefully that is an advantage to the authors, but they are not being published by Simon & Schuster.
And that's an important point, because while self-publishing may be all the rage right now, the truth is the ultimate goal for a lot of writers is a contract with a traditional publishing company. Alan Sepinwall is already considering that possibility.
It would put it in brick-and-mortar stores. It would put it in college bookstores. It would put it in other places. It would make it more widely available to people, and I think that would be nice. It depends on sort of what deal would be presented to me to make it worth giving up the rights to it, which I have right now.
And you have the total rights, so all the money comes right to you.
It is my book. There is no one else involved. The formatting company, that's work for hire. Cover artist, copy editor, all of that was work for hire. This is my book.
And he can do with it what he wants. Lynn Neary, NPR News, Washington.